This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
We've just had a great conversation with the Federal Minister for Opposition Minister for Health and Medicare, Catherine King.
Shadow Minister.
Catherine's just been talking about a package that was announced earlier this week, a $53 million package to make HIV history. Now on the phone we have the CEO of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, Daryl O'Donnell, to actually talk to us about the community's response to this. Good morning, Daryl.
Oh, good morning.
Great to have you on the waves this morning. So, Daryl, tell us a little bit about your role in this proposal that's come out of the opposition.
Well, it's a pretty exciting package, and I think Catherine, comments just previously has really captured that well. We've been working since the last federal election, both with Labor, but also with the government and the other parties, to make sure that we're doing that long-term, slow-build work in the lead-up to the next election, but also for the government, while it's in power, to be able to make the kinds of commitments that we need as communities on HIV. And so so it's a good way to end the year, because we've had not only Labor's announcement on Monday of this week, we also had some important announcements from the government. But certainly, in terms of the package that we're discussing from Labor, this is an astonishing kind of package. It's something that is going to make a huge difference in terms of community-led response to HIV.
It's Macadell. I was wondering, FAO, I would assume, has, as you said, you've been engaging the opposition and the government. I'm interested in the, particularly in the funding to extend the PrEP trials, and we went through with Catherine, the process to get PrEP onto PBS, and I believe, I think Tass said it might have been last week, it went up again to the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, but this will expand it, if Labor win the next election, this would expand it to 17,500 people. Is that a sufficient number, do you think? It seems to me a little bit low, but I suppose it's a good start, isn't it?
Well, it's actually more than that. It's 17,000 additional people.
Oh, additional, okay.
Yeah, that's right. So what this does, what Labor's commitment does, is basically guarantees access for PrEP until there's a PBS listing. Now, we hope that listing will happen a lot sooner than that, and we won't need to rely on this commitment from Labor. But if something goes wrong, and it would need to go very wrong, but if something does go wrong, what we've got in this package from Labor is a commitment to an additional 17,000 people. That's on top of the 13,000-14,000 already accessing PrEP, that they would have guaranteed access to PrEP through these state and territory trial arrangements until we've got the right solution, which is a PBS solution.
Do you have any idea, because it's 3.6 million to add another 17,500. Should it, let's just hypothetically, if what is the cost of it currently on the trial per person? Is there a
For the person taking PrEP,
that
varies around the states and territories, and this is actually one of the problems. So, so in some of the states and territories, including in Victoria, there's the equivalent of a Medicare payment. It's actually not available through Medicare, but it's basically the equivalent of that payment, whatever a person would pay if they were getting this from a chemist in the community. They make that payment in Victoria. In New South Wales, that payment isn't in place, so people participating in the trials have free access.
Okay.
And then in the other states and territories, it kind of varies. But this is part of the problem that, as you discussed with Catherine, the state and territory trial arrangements, they're a fantastic thing. We have seen the states and territories really step up in terms of putting in place these kind of workaround arrangements, but that's actually what they are. This isn't a substitute for PBS access to PrEP. What people want and need is to be able to see their doctor, to discuss PrEP, and if it's right for them, and they understand what it's all about, to get that script and walk next door to the chemist and actually get this dispensed in the way that, you know, Australians are used to getting their medication. We're hopefully not far away from that. So, you know, as you talked about, PBAC, the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, it has just met. It met yesterday. We won't know the recommendation from PBAC until about late January. But there's every reason now for us to expect that that's going to be a positive recommendation. You know, this is this really has taken way too long. I'm not sure. You know, I think PBAC itself is doing the right thing because its job is very particular. Its job is to look at not whether or not this works. We all know it works. We all know it's going to make a massive difference in terms of rates of HIV among gay and bisexual men in particular. So we know it works. The question for PBAC is the price that's being offered the right price? Is it a cost-effective price? And I think for all of us, none of us want the government to be paying more than they should for this drug. It's an old drug. It's been around forever. There's no research and development costs to be recovered. It's off patent. So there's absolutely no reason at this stage why the sponsors, the brand name company, which is Gilead, and the two generic sponsors, Lupin and Mylan, why they shouldn't be able to put a very, very good price on the table that allows the PBAC to say, yep, we've reached the mark, and for the PBAC to make that recommendation to the government, and the government then to immediately list that on the PBS early in the new year. There's no reason at this stage why that shouldn't occur, but it's good to have the backup from Labor in case something goes wrong.
We will certainly look out for that. It's very exciting indeed. Daryl, the other, the largest item in the opposition minister's package is the $10 million to restore funding that was cut by the Turnbull government. Could you talk to us a bit about what the impact of those cuts have been on organisations like yours and ultimately on infection rates in our community?
Well, I think that we are tracking at way too many new cases of HIV each year. So there's about 1,000 new diagnoses every year in Australia. Gay men still bearing the
huge... Is that 1,000 extra or 1,000 in total?
1,000 in total, about 1,000 people, three a day or so, a bit more than three a day, you know, talking to their doctor and getting a diagnosis with HIV. And most of that still being carried within our community and, you know, among gay and bisexual men. And that's a lot more than we should be seeing now. And I think part of what's important about this package is that everything's actually changed, you know, we've had a good response in Australia. We've, you know, a community-led response. It's been pretty effective by global standards. But what's different now is that the gap between what we could, where we are, and what we could possibly be achieving is growing. So there's now a real opportunity to get that 1,000 down to very low numbers. And that's kind of a new opportunity that's really only emerged in the last couple of years with rapid testing, with self-testing, with PrEP, and with U equals U, you know, our understanding now that...
It's a great campaign. Yeah. It's a great campaign. But Daryl, what's been the impact of those cuts on the organisations?
Well, it's been tough. It's been really tough. So all of the national peak organisations, which are set up by the AIDS councils and the organisations for people with HIV, for people who use drugs, people who sex work, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, all of those peak organisations have really done it tough over the last couple of years. The effect of a couple of different things going on at once. But what it means is that we can't actually work effectively with our member organisations, which for FAO are the AIDS councils in each state and territory. We can't work effectively to provide the kinds of supports that, you know, frontline educators, people working in the community, direct with communities, the kind of supports they need to be able to spend their time doing their job rather than running around in each state and territory and duplicating each other's work.
And Daryl, are you able to make a direct link between funding declines and infection rates? Has there been... Are you able to map that out?
I probably wouldn't go in that direction. What I would say is, with new investments, we can absolutely drive down rates of HIV. With PrEP, with new investments, with new capacity in the community, more people, more resources, we can actually do that. There's absolutely no doubt that that we can get those rates to very low levels in Australia.
Daryl,
and in fact, the work that's part of this announcement, Catherine referred to the blueprint. So we created a blueprint both for the government and for the opposition, but presented that to government earlier this year. And it's not only got this, not a package of what will help, but it's fully costed, and it's got the epidemiological analysis that sits behind that that says, if you do these things, these are the kinds of reductions in HIV notifications you will get, and this is the kind of economic impact that will have. These are the savings for Australia, both in the short and long term, that this kind of investment will make.
That's great work, Daryl, and I'm, congratulations on being able to drive this and to get this sort of response from the opposition. What's been the government's reaction to the opposition's announcement? Have you been able to track that?
Yeah, well, we've been talking to the government as much as we have to the opposition, and also to the other parties as well. So this is an ongoing dialogue. The government, I think, has made some other announcements on World AIDS Day. They announced security of funding for the national peaks for the next 2 years, which is a great thing. We don't have to worry about redundancies. We don't have to worry about, letting people go, restructuring into the new year. That's a big deal for us. It allows us to get on with the job. But they've also announced a commitment to 95, 95, 95. So as many people know, that there's a current target of getting 90% of people who have HIV diagnosed, getting 90% of those onto treatment and 90% of those onto to have undetectable viral load. And what the government's just announced is, that's great, we're making terrific progress towards that, and we're now going to hit that even harder and
pursue 95% targets.
That's right. And they've also announced that once there's a positive recommendation from PBAC, they will list that as a really high and rapid priority. So that's good, but we're still working with the government to see what additional commitments they can make. And there's a couple of opportunities. We just put in yesterday our pre-budget submission. So as we approach the federal budget, we've put to the government the package in the blueprint that we'd presented earlier. We'll work with the government as they announce the next round of HIV and related strategies, so that they can make commitments then. And then, of course, we've also got an election on approach, maybe late next year, maybe early the year after. But that gives both the government and the opposition and the other parties the opportunity to come forward and say, this is how we're going to support communities that that experience the burden of HIV. This is what we're going to do.
Daryl, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but that's been a fantastic discussion. Congratulations on excellent work, and at least getting some of these things nailed down. Now to actually pursue that and try to get government to take that up as well. So great work. It's great advocacy work, obviously, and obviously you're working in a bipartisan way, like all good NGOs should be. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks so much for your time.
And thank you for your time.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.